Spiritual warfare number four. Today we want to look at this thought. The prince of darkness desires to lead every one of us astray. He wants us to believe some of his demonized theologians and believe things that's not true. He wants to lead us into disobedience. He wants us to do the forbidden things. The secular humanists are telling us, well, just try this, try that. Nothing is wrong. Nothing is really bad. Everything is basically good. Just try illicit sex. Try drugs. Try abusing alcohol. Try. And then when our young people try that, they wind up destroying their lives. It's a line of deception that's coming straight from the devil. There are two kingdoms, the domain of darkness and the kingdom of the beloved Son. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, as a review from the last three messages, for he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son. Jesus came to rescue me from his evil kingdom, but I had to respond in faith, and so do you. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air. The King James, as you know, says prince of the kingdom of the air, the evil kingdom of the air, the spirit, the satanic demonic spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. Demonized people around you at work, the devil will use them to lie on you, tell lies about you, deceive you, cheat you. He'll use his demonized crowd to harm you if you do not know your authority and pray that God will protect you from them and take authority over the devil in them. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, we know positively that we are of God and the whole world around us is under the power of the evil one. You've got to know that. That the devil is working all around you. We are now the people of God, but everyone around us is under the power and deception of the evil one. Last week, we looked at Jesus' stories about the folks who were killed by Pilate and their blood was mixed in with the animal sacrifices. And then he told the story of the Tower of Siloam that fell on people and killed, I think, 18. So bad things happen all around us. But if we're born again believers and we put our faith in Jesus Christ and in the Word of God, he says, I'll give my angels charge over you to keep you in all of your ways. We'll never know until we get to heaven how many bad things didn't happen. We live in hostile territory. We are engaged in spiritual warfare. Good news, we are winning. We are winning. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be alert, be vigilant, on guard. Why would he say that if you don't have an enemy? Well, I don't believe in the devil. Well, he believes in you, and he believes you're weak, and he believes you're dumb, and so he believes he can convince you he doesn't exist, even though it's evident all around us, evil is everywhere. He's just hoping that we'll be dumb enough to believe there's no devil, and many people are. Be sober, alert, be vigilant, on guard, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith. You don't resist an imagination necessarily. You resist the devil. Can you say amen? That's behind the imagination. You cast down the imagination. As we have seen, the prince of evil is seeking a way to kill, steal, and destroy. And that's exactly what Jesus Christ said. And Peter said, your adversary, the devil, goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. He may not devour me. How about you? No way, Satan. Give it up. Get out. Okay. Therefore, be alert and on guard. Resist Satan because he is tempting each of us to sin. Why? He knows that sin opens the door to curses, and he wants you to do that forbidden thing that you know you shouldn't be doing. He wants you to step out and do it because he's going to use that against you. Listen, just as Adam and Eve opened the door for curses to enter the Garden of Eden when they gave in to temptation, we can open the door to curses by giving in to temptation. I'm really talking today about the tempter because he comes to tempt us to do things we shouldn't do. And tempt us to not believe certain things we need to believe. But the pastor says, with his stripes we're healed. Look around at all the people's not healed. Do you really believe that? The devil's always tempting us to believe something contrary to the word of God. He does that to me all the time. You see, if the prince of darkness, the tempter, went after Jesus, he will certainly come after you. And he'll come after me. Matthew 4:3. We don't read this every day, but every now and then we need to read it. And when the tempter came to him, say tempter. Why do you say tempter? Because he tempts every one of us to do things or to believe things that we shouldn't. And when the tempter came to Jesus, he said, if thou be the Son of God, trying to put doubt in his mind right there, if you be the Son of God. And he's trying to put doubt in your mind. Well, if you're really a son of God, if you're really a woman of God, why'd you say those things? Why'd you do all things? He's trying to cause you to doubt that you are a born-again believer and that you're a son or daughter of God. He's the accuser. I say I do something that's not exactly right, and he said, well, see there, you're not even saved. You lying devil. I'm not saved because I'm good or talk a certain way. I'm saved because of the blood of Christ. Now get out of here. You may act, sit there, and look innocent, but the devil does that to all of us. Amen. If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. Verse 4. And he answered and said, it is written. There's your key. Jesus is our example. So why in the world do you give us all these scriptures? And you always tell us we need to meditate on the word. We need to memorize the word. We need to quote the word. Why do you keep telling us that? Because Jesus did it. Amen. But he answered and said, it is written. How do you think he knew that? He was living as a man. He had to memorize that. And the Jewish, especially the boys, were trained to memorize the word of God. How many know they didn't have a computer? They didn't have a Bible written on paper. They had to memorize it. That's the way they carried the word of God with them. But he answered and said, it is written, a man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's a scripture repeated by Jesus, quoted by Jesus. Doing the word is a requirement for success in this cursed world. Jesus had it right. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. Well, I don't see why I have to spend all this time meditating on the word of God, reading the Bible, and memorizing the word of God. Why do I have to do that? Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. If you don't want victory in your life, then don't worry about it. But if you want victory in your life, you need to know the word of God. And right here is a good place to be, to learn the word of God. But everybody in this church is more and more becoming financially successful. Why? Because when you you don't live for anything but God and his word, God starts quickening that word in you to produce great things. My son, attend to my word. Incline thy ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from before thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart for the life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh. If you want to be healthy and well in life and successful in life, you've got to meditate day and night in the word of God. Well, how in the world do you do that? Well, the way I do it is every time I have a problem or any kind of a threat, I start quoting scripture wherever I am. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Verse 5, then the devil... And it's not that hard to learn a few verses. If one of the verses they really stands out and he grabs you, just get the reference. Go home and write it on a card. Put it in your pocket. And when you go to lunch, take it out. Read it 3 or 4 times. And if you got a paper napkin, turn the card over and write it out from memory. Hello. I'm giving you all my secrets. And you keep doing that until you can say it without looking at anything. Well, I'm just not very smart. I just can't remember. Yeah, you can. That's the devil telling you you can't remember. Quit believing the devil. The brain is the greatest computer ever. There's nothing like it. And if one brain may not be quite as smart as another, it's still smart enough. Okay. Can you say amen? Find something you say amen to. Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city. Now, he hit him with three major things. And setteth him on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, Satan said to Jesus, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, He shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. You see, he's talking about a mistake or an accident. And some snake handlers believe that they can just take up snakes because it says they shall take up serpents. You know, but if it's an accident, God doesn't intend for us to tempt him. And if we do those things on purpose, it's tempting God. And here's what he says. Are y'all paying attention? He shall give his angels charge over thee, and they in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Jesus said to him, It is written again. It is written. And he said again, It's written again. Evidently, every time the devil came against him, he was quoting scripture. Again and again and again, it is written, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. My mother, 17 years old, born again, spirit-filled Christian, called to preach. And I mean, I'm old enough to do what I want to do. But the Bible says, honor and obey your parents. Now, we see 18 is adult. I don't know what age God sees. Probably 40. It takes a while. And that was a kind of a magical age, so to speak, for especially adult men in the Bible, 40. But anyway, my mama said I was going to go hunting by myself. Had my shotgun ready to go out the door. She said, hey, put on a coat. It's cold and wet out there. So I'll be all right. Put on a coat. Well, I didn't. And I got so sick, I thought I was going to die. Don't tempt God. Well, I'm believing God, so I'm going to pick up a snake. You better not. Because that's tempting God. Somebody say amen. Well, I drive without insurance. I just trust God. You're really tempting God is what you're doing. Get some insurance or don't drive. I mean, I'll loan you some insurance money. Y'all pay attention. The devil sets you up in all kinds of ways. I got sick because I disobeyed my mama. And it's tempting God. Going out into cold rain without a coat on. Oh, well, I'm not going to do that again. Again, the devil taketh him into an exceeding high mountain. I used this the other day in a little different way. And showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, All these things will I give thee if thou wilt fall down and worship me. But remember, he make promises like that to you and to me. But we need to remember he's a liar. He has no intention to do anything good for anybody. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan. Let's try that. Say, Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. Get thee hence, Satan. For it is written. If you're going to tell the devil where to go, you need to back it up. The scripture. That's why God has you here, so you can learn the word of God. Well, I've heard that before. If you cannot quote it, God's going to make sure you keep hearing it until you can quote it. Then saith Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Why did Jesus rebuke the devil with scripture? Because it works. Do we need to quote scripture? Yes, because it works. It worked for Jesus. It'll work for you. Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. The Word of God says, the New Testament says in Hebrews, angels are ministering spirits to those who are heirs of salvation. You need to know, no matter what the devil's trying to do, the Lord has angels ministering to you, but you still need to be a doer of the Word. You still need to pray and fast and meditate on the Word, and like Jesus rebuke the devil with scriptures. If we'll do the word, then the angels would do the rest. Amen. The devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. See, notice Jesus was not spared the temptation that we face. We're tempted in the similar way to all of these things. So Jesus came to really give us authority and power and to take away our sins and to provide healing with his stripes. But also he came to show us how to live in victory. And the way you do it is written. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. I say that all the time. Resist the devil and devil, it is written. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now get out of here. Can you say amen? With his stripes, I am healed. With his stripes, I were healed. You take your pain and get off of me. Okay. Well, that preacher's a little nuts. Well, I know it, but I get healed, don't I? Now, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph. I mean, I have challenges every day just like everybody else. We have these radio stations in addition to everything else we got going on. The devil's always trying to mess with something, and I have to quote that on all the time. Now, thanks be unto God, which always causes me to win. It doesn't matter how bad it looks. I win. Now, get out, devil. Oh, you're not going to make it this time, preacher. Yes, I am. Get out. You're not capable of passing church like this and these radio stations and all these things. Devil. Listen to me, it's written, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Can you handle that one? We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Let's try that. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. How hard is that? You can use that tomorrow morning. Go to work saying, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. Sing it. I better let somebody else sing it. I can sing it in my vehicle, but that's the only place I'm allowed to sing. Who is the tempter? See, we want to say, well, God tried me. God did this. God did that. Everything in the Bible, there's a time or two where God did test a person to see, like Abraham, if they would obey him. And yes, but he doesn't tempt you by putting sickness and disease on you and trying to kill you. Who is the tempter? Satan. Luke chapter 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. Let me tell you, the devil, he doesn't necessarily just do that one time. He'll come to do it over and over if you don't stop him. See, it's really hard to convince people we do have authority. Jesus wasn't lying. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. So what did Jesus do? He rebuked the devil, take authority over the devil? Nope. All he did was pray. Look, it is. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail, and when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. He said, you're on your own, buddy, except I'm praying for you. Guess what? He's at the right hand of the Father right now praying for you. Well, I just don't believe it. Well, he prayed for Peter, didn't he? He's praying for you. You can make it. You can make it, but you've got to do what he did. You got to be able to quote scripture. Devil, with his stripes, I'm healed. Now get out of here. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Get out of here. Now thanks be unto God which always causes me to triumph through wind. Get out. He's amen. Now if you want to go to church, it gives you sweet little stories and you leave thinking, oh, that was a beautiful message. And it does nothing for you, gives you nothing to enable you to win your battles. You just wasted your time. You need a word like this that will work tomorrow morning or even this afternoon. This works. I'm a pretty good storyteller. I can get up here and tell you all these sweet stories and have you all emotional and crying, oh my God, what a story. You walk out of here, you have no power, nothing to use on the devil. How many know you need a sword? Wonder what that is. It's the word of God. It is written. The only help Jesus offered this man was prayer. If we have prayer partners, we can pray our way out of everything the devil has. Now, I asked all of you to pray, but I have one or two people that we have agreed together. We unite together in prayer, like Alice and John and a few others. And so if I can get just one or two in agreement with me, I can win anything. That's what happened last Sunday night. Alice and I got in agreement, and we stood out there and told that rain cloud to go around us, and it did. Y'all paying attention yet? Jesus said, I'm praying for you. I have discovered if I can get people to agree with me in prayer, I can win every time. But if any to agree, I'm not a long ranger. We had a men's prayer meeting yesterday, had about somewhere around 33, 34, 35 men. The men in this church are learning how to pray, buddy, and stand in faith. And about everyone that comes, or participate, and a lot of them do it by Zoom, about every man that participate in that prayer meeting, they're doing better at work, they're doing better financially, they're healthier, their family's healthier. Why? Because Jesus is praying, and we need to be praying for each other. If you're not a part of that men's prayer meeting, we only charge $25 to join. You know that's a joke, I hope. So it doesn't cost you anything, so you set a little time. 2 Peter 3:17, therefore, dear friends, since you already know this, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of lawless men and fall from your secure position. You have to be careful who you listen to. You need to be careful about what preachers you listen to on the radio and on TV. Somebody sends you a tape, oh, this is a wonderful preacher, wonderful message. You better be careful. If it's not the word of God 100%, you may not want to even bother. Be on guard so evil men and women do not... Are y'all paying attention? Am I wasting my time? Okay. Be on guard so... I'm just telling you what works for me. Be on guard so evil men and women do not cause you to fall from your secure position. That pretty woman at work can be the temptation that causes you to fall from your secure position and even wind up divorced, losing your family, your job, your career, everything else. The devil has a way of setting us up, and he will use our fleshly desires. He'll use our fears and doubt and unbelief. Don't do that. You might fail. Learn to pray through until you know you've heard from God. Somebody say amen. I had a big challenge this week, and I just kept praying, oh, God, what am I going to do? I'm like everybody else. I just, or like a lot of people, just fall apart. Oh, God, what am I going to do? And I was praying, and the Lord says, I have got it. It's going to work out. And guess what? It worked out. You've got to learn to hear from God and then relax. You know, quit worrying about it. But resist temptation, verse 18, but grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Grow in grace. How do you do that? Number one, you got to be in the Word of God and in your prayer closet. And then you have to be in a good Bible-believing preaching church if you're going to learn the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. It goes on to say, how can they hear without a preacher? So it really means, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the preached word of God. Now, you can preach it to yourself, but that's not talking about preaching to yourself. It's talking about a preacher. And you can't find many that will get up here and read the Bible. Oh, I love those stories. It just had me crying. But did it get you healed? Did it give you victory at work? Did it help you get a pay raise? You know? Thank you, Jesus. Grace is the life-transforming power we experience as we meditate on and pray over the Word of God. You have to do it. Well, I don't have time. You don't have time not to. I don't mean this to sound harsh, but, you know, I'm just tired of the devil deceiving good, godly people. It's just God's will for you to be sick. It's God's will for you to live in poverty. It is not. From the beginning of this Bible to the end, it says if you'll serve God, you'll be blessed. From the beginning to the end. Amen. That's what it teaches. If you've never read it, you may want to read it. You see, this is why we need this kind of preaching. And we need it every week. It can help keep us healthy, well, and out of trouble, the Word of God. Grace is God's provision for our transformation. Emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially. Grace is God's provision. When you get into God's presence and you have all kind of emotional hurts and scars and physical problems, you need wisdom and direction, the grace of God, the provision of God will begin to provide for all of those. Grace is God's provision for our transformation, emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially. The way I've been healed and delivered and had a measure of success is spending hours meditating on the Word of God and praying over it. And as I am, something is happening inside. God's begin to reprogram me and change me on the inside. Grace, God's provision. It says, grow in the grace and knowledge. Knowledge, meditating on the Word of God. Grace is His anointing upon it. Grace and provision that enables you to be healed and delivered. My son, attend to my words, incline the ear to my sayings. Can you say amen? Just quoted that. And then Joshua, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. But shall, this is not in my notes. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, deserve to do according to all that's written therein. Then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. If you want to prosper and have good success, it's right here. Well, I tried it, and it was just boring. Well, skip over in the beginning all the Old Testament legalism and get in the New Testament. Then you can go back to the other later. When you have less problems. 2 Corinthians 11:3. But I am afraid that as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your minds will be led astray from the simplicity and purity of devotion to Christ. How did Satan deceive Eve? By telling her the forbidden fruit was good. And that's what the devil's telling many of us right now. The forbidden is so good, you're missing out on something. Do not pattern your life after Hollywood stars and secular humanist university professors. Satan has deceived them, and he'll use them to deceive you. A lot of preachers are deceiving a lot of people. 2 Corinthians 11:13, for such men are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles, as preachers of Christ, when they're really demonic, when they're children of disobedience. Verse 14, no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Verse 15, therefore it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end will be according to their deeds. God says, I'm going to hold them accountable for all their lies and deception. They disguise themselves as university professors, as psychologists, as preachers, but they teach the evil deeds of darkness, and they call it good fruit. Try illicit sex. Try, you know, these drugs. Try this, try that. It'll make your life better, and it doesn't, because it's forbidden. And they say, well, there's no absolutes. Yes, they are. God is not our tempter. Just like he was not Eve's tempter or Jesus' tempter. It was Satan. Isn't this starting to make sense? See, the devil tells us all kinds of, I'm just reading straight out of the Bible what the truth is. James 1:13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I'm being tempted by God. There you have it. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am being tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, and he himself does not tempt anyone. Somebody say amen. Y'all listening? You're going to have to listen close because I got to move it. Verse 14. But each one is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust, fleshly desires. Satan uses your fleshly desires against you. He knows what they are, and he can put you in a place where you'll be greatly tempted. And when he does, you need to rebuke him. Not just try to resist temptation. Rebuke him. Say, devil, you get your temptation. Get out of here. Get your lust and get out of here. I'm believing God. Now, Lord, deliver me from this thing. Come on. Verse 15, then when lust has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. You see, sin ends in spiritual death and even physical death. Verse 16, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. This says, do not be deceived. I just very quickly ran through the Bible one night, and I found 12, 15 times where it says, do not be deceived. Do not be deceived. If you're deceived, it's your own fault. You have this. You don't need to be deceived. If you're deceived, it's probably because you're not putting enough time. And I can't take credit for anything. The devil don't like this message. Try to shut me up. I just got desperate when I started pastoring my first church and dove into the Bible, and God began to teach me these things. It's out of pure desperation. And so then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin. And when sin is accomplished, it brings forth death. Verse 16, do not be deceived. Say that with me. Do not be deceived. Say it again. Do not be deceived. This says, do not be deceived. God does not tempt anyone. However, Satan does lead us into temptation by appealing to our flesh. I mentioned for the sake of the men a little while ago, that beautiful woman at work could be the temptation of the devil. You better stay clear. Somebody say amen. The more attractive she is, the further you need to stay away. It will not end well. See, he's trying to set you up to fail by appealing to your flesh. You got to know that. And the Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. What does that mean? It means we are struggling not just with our flesh, but with demonic influences, with the demonic power that somehow increases that desire to the point it's almost unbreakable. And that's when it becomes demonic. The devil is using your flesh against you. That's when you got to stop and say, devil, I rebuke you. I take authority over you. You take your temptation. Get out. I remember many years ago I had a temptation so strong. I thought, man, I'm not going to be able to break this. That's before I really realized it could be demonic. And I went all by myself and I prayed and got a hold of God and I broke that thing. Broke it right off. The Holy Spirit broke it off. It was a demonic thing, and the devil and the Lord broke it when I prayed through. It could cost me the ministry, everything else, if I hadn't broke that. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. I'm saying all kind of stuff. It's not in my notes, and I didn't intend to say. Okay, and I'm running out of time. Lord, help me get back on track. But somebody needs to hear this. The devil could be setting you up. Well, I'm doing great. He could be setting you up right now for disaster. Satan is our tempter just as he was Eve's tempter and Jesus' tempter. There are evil forces behind our temptation. We need to learn to use our authority and rebuke the devil. Matthew 26:41, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. Who said that? Jesus. Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus says the flesh is weak, so watch and pray. Be on guard. The flesh is weak. Jericho, one of Israel's greatest victories, became one of their greatest defeats because Achan yielded to temptation. In Joshua 6:17, the city, Jericho, shall be under the ban. Verse 18, but as for you, only keep yourselves from the things under the ban, so that you do not covet or lust after them, and take some of the things under the ban. God says you're not to take the gold and all the various things. He listed them. I'm out of time. But Achan went into Jericho and took some of those things he knew were forbidden. So they lost the battle to Ai. The next battle they lost. And Joshua fell on his face. Oh, God, what happened? In Joshua chapter 7, verse 4, so about 3,000 men from the people, from Israel, went up there. They fled from the men of Ai. Just a small little city. They just conquered Jericho, and this little city beat them. It's because Achan was aching for a beating with stones. Achan was aching. Can you say amen? And he took some things God said, do not take. He said, well, what was wrong with it? What was wrong with it? God said, don't take it. Do not take it. The men of Ai struck down about 36 other men, verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, rise up. Why is it that you have fallen on your face? Get up, quit crying like a baby. Verse 11, Israel has sinned, and they have even taken some of the things under the ban and have both stolen and deceived. The Lord revealed that Achan was the one. Verse 13, the Lord says, you cannot stand before your enemies until you have removed the things under the ban from your midst. If there are things in your life that you need to confess as sin and repent of it, you need to do it before you leave this room, because it can hinder your future. You see, when we allow, and I'm not preaching this just to you, preach it to me too. When we allow any forbidden thing in our lives, it can keep us from winning in life. And Satan knows this. Verse 21. Now, why did Achan do this? Achan says, of course, he was confronted and he was stoned to death. But here's what he said. When I saw the plunder, a beautiful robe from Babylon, and he knew he wasn't supposed to take it, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted, I lusted after, I craved those things. I lusted after them, desired them, and took them. The devil tempted him, and he fell for it. Well, you can get away with it. Nobody's looking. Nobody will know you took it. But God told on him. When Achan gave in to his fleshly desires, he opened the door for the prince of darkness to steal, kill, and destroy. Let's stand.